New Year's resolutions always seem to focus on getting healthy or fit, but what about getting organized? Maybe the weight you want to lose is all that dead weight in your closet. Enter the new year with resolutions to declutter and retake control of your space. Smart Labels is here to help. Smart Labels helps people organize and find their stuff in storage around the house or in a self-storage unit. Their QR code stickers pair with the Smart Labels app so you can put a sticker on a plastic bin, catalog everything going in, and a year down the road when you're looking for that specific thing, all you have to do is search the app. It's that easy with Smart Labels. Make a smart New Year's resolution this year. Shop Smart Labels QR code sticker packs on Amazon today and lose the extra weight in your closet. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Reed.
I'm Zach.
I'm Maddie.
And I'm Annie.
And it is a full motherfucking house on the It's About Bravo mic tonight. And that's because we are pre-recording this special episode for you guys ahead of some much deserved time off for the holidays. We are here tonight for a super special, one of a kind, first of its kind episode for the It's About Bravo family. We are here for the first annual It's About Bravo award show. And the crowd goes wild. A crowd much bigger, I should say, than Giselle and Robin's shady, whatever it's fucking called. Podcast where they had a live show.
And now we said it.
All right. Here's how it's gonna go tonight, listeners. First of all, first and foremost, thank you for voting in the first annual It's About Bravo Awards category. 16 categories in total. And we had over 5,000 votes from you guys across Instagram, Twitter. There are four nominees per category. Now, yours truly, the It's About Bravo family, we nominated the categories, but we put the decision into the hands of the It's About Bravo listening community. So thank you for participating in democracy, even though it was rigged in some categories, and we will be showing up to the Capitol on June 6th. Now,
stop the count.
Without further ado, let's get into the first annual It's About Bravo Awards show with our first presenter in our first category. His name's Zach, and he's back on the mic. Zach, hello.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first annual It's About Bravo Awards. So I have the honor tonight of presenting the award for Best Show on Bravo. So the nominees for the Best Show on Bravo are Vanderpump Rules. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Luann and Sonia, Crappy Lake. Married to Medicine. All right. All these nominees are super fucking good. And I think all of them are very well deserving. But the winner of the Best Show on Bravo goes to Vanderpump Rules.
I don't give a about f***ing Raquel.
I mean, makes sense that you guys all voted for it. I mean, it was the scandal that took over the nation. We were all glued to our TV screens. We were all obsessed, foaming at the mouth for this. It put Pump Rules back on the map. we all have to thank Rachel Levis for her contribution.
Boo! And-
we love you, Rachel.
She put a little oomph back in that show. And
a little razzle dazzle.
That was great. But honestly, all of those shows are fucking phenomenal. But Vanderpump Rules takes it. You got, the people spoke. And
I'm not surprised by that one. I feel like it definitely like was show of the year for basically everybody. My mom started watching Bravo in general for this. So, yeah,
I think it got a lot of people just interested in Bravo. Like you said, Reed, like a lot of people just jumped onto the bandwagon because of Scandoval.
And it wasn't just a show on Bravo anymore. Like you said, it was like a national, there were national news stories. Like Ariana got on Dancing with the Stars because of it. Like it took the nation by storm. Like there is no shock that it's the winner.
And not to mention that it is actually nominated for an award show. It is nominated for an Emmy being I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Someone fact check me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it's the first Bravo show.
And Zach, you know who does have an Emmy nom under her belt? Lisa Vanderpump. Guess who doesn't have an Emmy nom under her belt? Kyle Richards for that horrible show, American, whatever the fuck it was called. You're not noticing what I'm saying.
I know. No, I know exactly what you're saying. I'm kind of like, you're like, what? Because you're dissing the queen of horror Halloween. She's been in this Hollywood game since before Lisa Vanderpump ever any nomination.
Oscar, that's an Oscar conversation, Zach.
An Oscar is arguably better and more of an accolade than an Emmy read.
Hey, so. You know what? What's better than an It's About Bravo word, though, really? So
it's not going to be called an EGOT anymore. It's going to be called like an EGOT team. Like, I don't know.
An EGOT.
All right. But Zach, hold on. So I know like Vanderpump won, but Zach's making it sound like everyone voted for Vanderpump. Just let the record show. It was rather close. So the runner up to this category was Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I think definitely deserves at least some flowers in this conversation. Like had Scandoval not happened, I think Salt Lake. This is really
obviously, but we're voting because of Scandoval.
This is kind of like when Adele took the Grammy from Beyonce. You know, like it's deserved, but it just kind of hurts a little.
I wouldn't say that because I think that in this, no, because that would be like if Vanderpump Rules lost and then Lisa Barlow got up there for the It's About Bravo award and broke her It's About Bravo award in half because she knew that it should have gone to the show that took the nation over. So no, in this case, justice prevailed. This is coming from
Vanderpump, like, by the way. So this is,
well, we all voted for Vanderpump.
I voted for
Vanderpump. I didn't vote. Did you vote on the stories?
Oh, I voted on the stories and then I logged into my dog's Instagram and I voted on the stories.
Oh my gosh, you guys rigged rigamores, girl.
Rigged fucking election. Okay, Maddie, you can go to federal prison for doing a double vote like that.
Guys, this is such Jen Shaw behavior. This is fraud.
This is very Jen Shaw behavior. Who did you vote for?
Vanderpump. But the other categories, my people didn't win, so.
I didn't vote at all.
Like, before we get into, like, all the rest of the awards, too, I just want to say that, like, when I was doing my nominees, like, I did not really go off of, like, my personal bias as much as, like, just, like, trying to kind of think about what the fans' reactions were and think about, too, like, we did this, like, survey, like, so blind, like, Reed did the whole survey thing, and so I think we all kind of played the game a little bit of being like, okay, we all know that someone's going to say this. So like, let me say.
I think I nominated Salt Lake actually, or no, Zach, did you nominate Salt Lake? We should tell the listeners which one we nominated. Just like,
I nominated and shows that like I was, okay, I have to cop this, but I was the last person to turn in my assignment for Reed.
Yeah. party over here.
Reed has been sending us this shit for like 3 weeks. And I was the last person to, I literally did it a couple days ago. I knew in my heart of hearts that Annie did Vanderpump. I knew that someone already did Salt Lake. I knew that someone probably did Luann. And like, so I did Married to Medicine, because I think it is one of the best shows on Bravo right now. But I just knew that like the other cat, like, you know, I was trying to make it, which I think next year we should have a board meeting instead of like a Survey Monkey. Yeah. So we
an academy. And It's About Bravo Academy.
Yeah. An academy.
Yes.
Yeah. Just so the listeners are like privy to what we're kind of talking about. So each of these categories have four nominations because there are four of us here on the microphone right now. So each category has one of our nominations that we put up. There were a few categories where a lot of us did the same answer because hello. So there were some that we kind of tweaked. But yes, each our opinions are in each one of these. So some of them I take a little bit more to heart than others.
Yeah. And like the album, think about it. I want listeners to think, keep this in mind as we go through the rest of these awards. Think about how album of the year, just being nominated at the Grammys is like a huge honor. So like, obviously you want to win, but even just being one of the nine or however many they nominate, like that is such an honor. And it's usually a very well-rounded palette of genres. And I feel like you're going to find in these awards that a lot of these nominees are deserving of being nominated, but obviously somebody is gonna win. And I think no one's surprised, even though I nominated Crappy Lake, love Crappy Lake. I voted for Vanderpump because I do think it deserves to take home.
Yeah, same. So I nominated a lot of people that I did not end up later voting for because I just knew that like it should be nominated. But it shouldn't win. So yeah, that happened.
All right.
So presenting the next award, we have someone who is not only a big old podcaster, and they're not only a big old barb, but they are also a big old bottom. And for that, we appreciate them for it. So introducing newcomer of the year, give it up for Reed Chandler.
thanks, I guess. In the words of one of society's most prolific poets and activists, you ain't fuck Nikki, you fuck Nicole body. And just like Nikki with her new body and her new dick, these four nominees came brand new to the Bravoverse, and we thank them for it. The nominees for newcomer of the year are Jennifer Pedranti, Real Housewives of Orange County.
I'd watch it, Tamara.
Watch it?
I'd watch
it. Wait, you want to watch it?
Jen Fessler, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Sandwich anyone? Who's is that somebody's?
That's mine. Can I have it?
Go ahead.
Fabulous.
Rachel Fuda, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Why did you call me Rat?
Because you did.
No.
Monica Garcia, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I went into the Louis Vuitton store.
I work hard so I can have anything I want.
And like, I bought a bag.
I can't believe this. I'm so excited. And the winner goes to the princess of Salt Lake City, Monica Garcia.
Get your finger out of my face.
I'll put my finger
around. Get your finger out of my face.
Don't act shocked.
Are we surprised, Monica?
No, and looking at the numbers, it's like a landslide.
Okay. Monica, you are our girl. You're my girl. I love you. I am so happy you're on Housewives. Fuck the haters. I cannot wait to see what goes down at the reunion and the rest of this season. Monica won in a landslide, over 400 votes. The closest person behind her was Jen Fessler with 69 nice votes. So,
and yeah. I'll say I nominated Jen Fessler for this award, and I voted for her.
It was a valid nom.
But Monica Garcia is the people's princess. She is winning people over left and right. And honestly, like Jen Fessler, obviously I relate to because that's my Real Housewives of New Jersey person. But people forgot about her already. People aren't going to forget about Monica Garcia when the next seasons are airing of Housewives. Like, she is an icon, a queen, a legend.
I mean, can we really forget about Jen Fessler with her talking about her Ozempic journey and like her intestines? Like, right now?
I'll never forget her.
No, that was it. That wasn't a read. I mean, it kind of was, but I love Jen Fessler. Let the record show. I'm a Fesslernator, as Reed would say.
not Fessler Hive.
Fessler Hive, stand up.
Oh my god. And so yeah, I think these were all very solid nominees. Obviously, Monica is the people's princess and the favorite, but I thought Jennifer Pedranti had a really solid season on OC. Do we know, is she coming back?
Yes.
I'm sure.
Oh, she didn't pass away? Oh. and Jen Fessler and Rachel Fuda will both return to Jersey. Kind of funny that the other newbie didn't make it on this list. And I was obsessed with her for like 2 weeks.
It was a short-lived 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was really short. So
she could win us back next season.
She could win us back next season. They're all going to be back.
I still think that she's like, I still think she was like a solid newbie, even though I like disagree with her on like things. Like I
me
just,
too.
You know, I think yeah. she was like interesting to see.
Her and Rachel had a good like little thing going there where they were kind of.
They were not as iconic as the entrance of Jackie and Jennifer, but you know, it's.
Yeah.
It'll work. Well, yes.
Well, sort of, kinda.
Now, presenting our next award, she's short in life and also short on a job right now. Everyone, please welcome to the stage, Maddie Hosty.
Oh my God. Read me. Okay.
That was a good one. You gagged her.
I also just learned for the first time how to pronounce your last name. I thought it was Host this whole time.
Hosty.
Hosty with the mosty.
Exactly. Okay, for my award tonight, I am presenting Most Fashionable. And to quote Jerry Seinfeld, comedy is more personal than food. And I think fashion is more personal than comedy. So these are the nominees for Most Fashionable. We have Marlo Hampton.
Oh, that was fashion, darling.
Paige DeSorbo.
She wore shoulder pads to the beach.
Dorit Kemsley.
Fashion is my language, and I speak it fluently.
And Erica Jane. Look in this good, don't come prepared. And the winner, not by much, for Most Fashionable is... Dorit Kemsley.
It's very chic.
Not by much, girl.
That was chic.
Do you want to say who the runner-up was, Maddie? Would you like to share that with the group?
I would. The runner-up by less than 20 votes is Paige DeSorbo. And I just have to think, wow, a girl on Summer House is runners-up to a housewife of Beverly Hills. That has to say a lot.
It does actually say quite a lot. And I know Mo was losing his shit.
Losing it. He was mad she was even nominated. I'm like, fashion is personable. Okay. But all good girls. Marlo, hello, fashion the house down.
Absolutely. Erica, that's a great nominee. She's been fucking killing it in these confessionals this season.
I have to say, I like her Power Ranger, pink Power Ranger look. I like it.
I like the gold look even. I like all of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it.
All right, so the next award is going to be most entertaining, and presenting that is the tall and beautiful and blonde Annie.
Oh, I thought you were going to read me. All right, thank you.
I couldn't think of a read fast enough.
It's really hard for me, I know. It's tough.
I was going to say the opposite of most entertaining, Annie.
Then just say that, okay.
And now we said it.
Now we said it. Okay. Yeah. So the next award is most entertaining. The first nominee is the entire Married to Medicine cast.
Y'all are what they call sugar babies.
It's not a sugar baby. It's not a sugar baby.
What are you?
It's just age gap relationships.
Age gap.
But the name of it is sugar babies.
It is.
No, it's not.
Wait, what is it called?
It's an age gap support group.
The next nominee is Luann and Sonia from Crappy Lake.
It's amazing how fast the gas comes.
Gosh. Next, we have Lala Kent from Vanderpump Rules.
I don't want a deal. I have a life going on. I got a little baby to take care of. I don't want to see that in the morning. I want to see that ever. Send it to Daryl.
And finally, Mary Cosby from Salt Lake City.
Do you think I look inbred?
I do.
This award will go to Luann and Sonia from Crappy Lake.
Yeah. Who do I have to f- this time?
Welcome to the Bent Motel, ladies.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to blurt out WTF because that's what I'm thinking.
Fuck yeah, my girls.
Well deserved.
Absolutely. And they need it. I really wanted them to walk away with a fucking award. And I know that they were
it
up against
showed, the- and it showed in the Survey Monkey. It really did.
Yeah. I was really nominating them. I think that they deserve. Their show was going to be a Peacock original, got moved over to Bravo. Bravo loves them. I think they realize, like, these are our cash cows. And Roni Legacy, I cannot fucking wait. Like, we are, by the time this airs, actually, it'll be out. Like, that'll be fucking
wild. Exciting.
So exciting to think about the future.
Now, these nominees were a little inconsistent. We didn't really have a whole lot of rules around this Survey Monkey that I sent out. The entire Married to Medicine cast. I get it. It's like the Time Person of the Year being like every first responder during COVID.
Is it wrong though, Reed?
No. I just watched.
Like, is it wrong?
No, I just watched the newest episode.
Are you not entertained?
Oh my God. I'm fucking cackling. It's like so good. And I love
it. That's what I thought. And that's why I put it in the dance.
I love your guys' Patreon on it too. It was so funny.
It's been a great season. And those, they do deserve to be in that award, the entire Married to Med cast.
They really do. And let's not just really quick discount Lala Kent and Mary Cosby. I think that those round out the category quite nicely.
Good nominee.
I wish Lala Kent was second place. I was kind of shocked by that.
That was my nominee.
Yeah, she was killing it in the polls.
Yeah. Well, she is. Okay. So our next presenter is somebody who did not tell me about this idea to roast the next presenter until about 5 minutes before recording, because they literally showed up not knowing exactly what we were even doing here tonight. Give it up for Zach, I guess.
Sorry, I'm always like this. I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, and I own it. You know what? I own it.
Own it.
Own it, baby. Own it. All right, so the next award is going to be the sexiest man on Bravo, because we all love a sexy man on Bravo. So the nominees are Captain Jason from Below Deck.
This charter, there's enough stress already. Now I find out there's a hydraulic leak.
Craig Conover from Southern Charms.
What's wrong with my cellar?
Aaron Ross from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Hold on. Hold on, please. I don't rock like that. Don't f*** with my wife.
Amir Lancaster from Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
I'm used to courtship. I'm used to making sure that you put your cards on the table. I'm interested in you.
And the winner of Sexiest Man on Bravo goes to Captain Jason.
Take it off! Take it off!
Oh. Yeah.
By a landslide, right?
By a landslide. Well, that man. Oh,
is
my God.
Is it moist in here, y'all? Or is that just me?
Okay.
It's the water. it's the sea.
Yeah.
I'll let him go below deck, down under. That's for sure.
One of the listeners, though, did make a comment in the DMs. Lauren, she is one of my friends in real life too, but she did make a comment. She's like, has anybody seen his teeth? And I said, I just have him keep his mouth closed.
No, I think they got fixed recently.
He got a bag and fixed his teeth.
I'm trying to think, because the first season they were so noticeable, and now I don't notice him as much, so I thought he got him fixed. But I could be wrong.
I don't really notice that kind of thing, but I gotta say, there was a lot else going on that I did not notice it. So
yeah, I plan on spending time below the equator, so I'm not.
Oh, the teeth are fixed, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna take a break. We're gonna take a quick break because Maddie just showed a small picture of Captain Jason. We'll be right back.
I need to
cool down.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, pivoting to the next award, the presenter for this award is still drying himself off from how moist he is because of Captain Jason. Give it up for Reed Chandler.
Thank you. And go ahead and grab a towel, listeners, because it's about to get even wetter in here. In the words of the famous Reese Witherspoon, women's stories matter. They just matter.
Women's stories matter.
Yeah.
Right. They just matter.
And in the spirit of that statement, the category of sexiest woman on Bravo has four nominees. The nominees are Madison LaCroix, Southern Charm.
You're going to be a Hoochie Bee one. Own it.
Bren Whitfield, Roni.
I love to laugh, but make me mad, and I'll date your dad.
Portia Williams, Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay, Bravo. They
really do want me back. They're trying to woo me. Thank you.
Girl, for the last time, this is Peacock.
Huh? Keep it coming.
Lisa Hochstein, Real Housewives of Miami.
Take me off my throne and I'll bring down the kingdom.
And the winner goes to Bryn Whitfield of Roni.
I sell dirty pictures online. No, I'm just joking.
Come on, queen.
That's gotta feel good.
Queen.
First year on Bravo. Sexiest woman on Bravo.
She is the sexiest one on Bravo. And she was so fucking like funny and horny on her episode with us. So I feel like she definitely deserves, like, she's just a little minx. She's a little sex kitten. And she deserves this award. But the other girls that are nominated are fucking fierce. So honestly, give it up for all of them, because I couldn't be gayer, but they're really fucking hot. So
I think you could be a little bit gayer, but I definitely feel like, you know, it could seem like we at It's About Bravo have a little bit of a bias because we have a little bit of a relationship with Bryn, I guess. But you know what? We nominated her and the people spoke. So it's not a bias and she deserved it. She earned it. She worked for that.
And it wasn't close.
It wasn't close. It was not close.
I thought it was going to be a tight race between her and Portia, but actually it was Madison in second. And I think when we see Madison's reunion looks, maybe she would even get first.
Matt, her and Bryn in a tight race, that would be very interesting. Portia is so sexy. Oh my God. And I loved her on Girls Trip. Lisa Hochstein, I think she's really sexy. I don't know.
I think she looks like a hot Bratz doll. I love her.
Yeah, literally a hot Bratz doll. And I just love
The fillers are dissolving nicely. I will say that.
Yeah, she looks like she's in her leaned out era. Like her, it's like, I'm like, are you on Ozempic? But really, it's just that all the filler deflated.
Yeah.
So got them taken down like enough. Well, that brings us to our next award and our presenter tonight. She's very acquainted with the subject matter of this award. It is the Flop Season Award. Maddie, take it away.
Tired of the shady intros. Okay, guys. Okay, but we do have the Flop Season Award.
It's chocolate.
And let's just say, just because you have a flop season does not mean you can't rise again. So,
back up.
Exactly. You can only go so far to build yourself back
up. Vanderpump Rules.
T. So these nominations for Flop Season Award are Real Housewives of Potomac. Real Housewives of Atlanta. Right. Summer House. Real Housewives of New Jersey. And the winner, I guess you could say the biggest loser of this award, is Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Loser!
This is so sad. That is the saddest thing I think I've ever heard leave somebody's lips.
What a fall from grace.
It won by a landslide, but I think it won so much. Second place was Real Housewives of New Jersey, in case anybody was wondering. But I think Real Housewives of Atlanta got voted so much is because we put them on such a high pedestal.
I agree.
You know? And the higher something, there's a quote about that, you know, falling high.
The higher, the closer to heaven. What is it? No.
Yeah, the closer to heaven, the harder you fall or something like that.
Something like that. I don't know.
I think those are two different quotes, but I
they definitely combine two different quotes there. But you know what? It actually made sense.
Like,
so let's go with
quotes together.
I have such a Ramona.
Wigs being the higher to heaven.
Higher to heaven, the closer to God.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Kudos to you for coming up with that.
Kudos.
Not you having your Portia moment. I'm like, where the hell is Vigil at?
I'm such a Ramona when it comes to that. Like, I come up with like phrases and sayings like that are like, you know, like making a mountain out of a whole mill, you know, and it's like a whole mill, you know, it's like, I'm like always getting it wrong.
I think you know what it is. It's a little bit of a motivation too. You guys were so great. You can be again. This should just motivate you to pick it back up.
Yeah. And know? like I said, like, look at Vanderpump. If we did these awards last year, season 9 of Vanderpump may very well have won Flop Season of the Year. And then look at it this year. It won Best Show on Bravo in our awards. Like,
it 1000% would have won Flop Season of the Year.
You can absolutely turn the fucking ship around so fucking fast. this was not an easy one. I don't think like obviously we don't want to like nominate what we do. Want to nominate awards for shady awards, but it's like not fun to be like like we were all rooting for you. Like we really were. I do think there's new change on the horizon for Atlanta though, and a lot of hope. What I don't have as much hope about is Real Housewives of Potomac, but we will save that for one of our 3-minute recaps at the end of a regular episode. And yeah, Jersey and Summer House. I didn't watch Summer House, but Jersey was okay.
Summer House was just the same storyline, like run into the ground. That's, I think, what makes a bad season. So it was just the same thing over and over. And then it just got into a pile on and just wasn't enjoyable to watch. But what is enjoyable to watch are the best housewife franchise. And we are going to scoot it on over to Annie to present this award.
Yes. Okay. So thought you were going to drag.
Given up on the reads.
I'm not reading. I
clearly
not. You did kind of read Annie though a little bit.
Yes. I liked it. Okay. I love when Maddie reads me. It turns me on. Okay. Okay, so for the best Housewives franchise, the nominees are Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Housewives of Miami, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and Real Housewives of Orange County. Now, just to remind everyone, this is for this past season, okay? And the winner is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Something going on in your personal life that you would like to share.
With what, though? Like, what?
Her marriage.
Really?
Yes. What's with the new band?
That's what she wants to know?
No, I want to know. What's with the new wedding band?
Rigor mortis, girls. It was rigor mortis.
You know what? I tip my hat to you, Beverly Hills. You are an institution, much like Karen Huger and Ray's marriage. But
that's exactly what it is.
However, this is where my Meghan McCain starts to come out a little bit, because maybe we need to steal the votes sometimes. Maybe people don't need to be let choice be put into their own hands. Maybe we know what's best for them.
Maybe the people don't know what they want, and we need to choose.
They do. And we need for them. Exactly. You're my vice president, Zach. Thank you.
Let's just say the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills only beat Salt Lake City by 10 points. So they weren't won by a landslide.
Yeah.
I just find it hard.
Trump and Biden went through in 2020.
I just find it hard to believe that
we need to find 11 votes. We need to find 11 votes. Somebody call Utah.
They were in Arizona with the Sharpies.
Do you know what? Reed thinks that like this was decided like Electoral College, and he doesn't believe it. He's like, no, Hillary won.
Yeah, no, she did.
Salt Lake won the popular vote. Okay, yes, this is real.
Salt Lake won the popular vote.
They did.
The count.
This is just politics at its finest. God damn it.
I do want to say, like, I was listening a few weeks back when Gibson, he's like a big name for the Bravo sphere, had Danny Pellegrino, also big name for the Bravo sphere, on his pod. And they were talking about Beverly Hills, and they said something that was like really profound. And it was like, Beverly Hills is a great housewife show for people that don't have to take notes on it and recap it. It's an easy watch. They said like it's a fold your laundry to type of show. The players don't change a lot. The dynamics aren't that deep. But if a person who's folding their laundry tries to get into Salt Lake City, you blink an eye and the alliance has changed and it's very confusing. But people like us, we're taking notes, we're live tweeting, we're making memes, like we're really in it. So we get to see how great of a show Salt Lake City is, where the middle moms in America like Beverly Hills because it's an easy watch.
But also I feel like they like Beverly Hills because like the glamour of it. Like they don't like it. They don't watch Beverly Hills for like the things that we watch Housewives for.
Exactly.
And yeah, like,
well, to be fair, everyone tunes in for something different. So don't hate. I mean, I'm hating. Okay. But I think that undeserved. I think that Beverly Hills is a great franchise. I think it makes sense that they were so neck and neck. I would not have been mad if Salt Lake City won. I'm not mad that Beverly Hills won. I'm just being honest.
Is Annie coming out of the Trumper?
I think well,
this is giving MAGA. I don't like. Oh, it's giving very much MAGA. Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm the one who wants to steal votes on behalf of Salt Lake. So I don't know if me and Annie can be. I don't think we're politically aligned here.
I think we're just mushing it all together, Reed. I think it's just an SNL
actually
skit.
You're right. I made the wrong analogy. Reed is totally Trump wanting to fuck with the votes. I am Hillary being like the popular vote. Okay. Yeah, actually, Beverly Hills run the popular vote. So
you are Hillary. You are behind Pizzagate and you need to be behind bars immediately.
It's one of those things. Here's the thing. It's one of those things where I would say Beverly Hills is like pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, okay.
It's like it's good. Everyone loves it. Everyone's obsessed with. I can't.
And he has a Hillary Clinton doll in the camera.
It's not a doll. It's an action figure.
It looks like a pen.
He has joints. Okay.
But back to what I was saying is like it's like it's basic, but basic doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means like it's very popular and people like it. Where like I don't know if you have like a better palette or a more extinguished palette, you'd probably prefer Salt Lake. Like you know, you like your escargot.
Did you say did you say extinguished palette?
Something a
extinguished
palette.
Okay. you're extinguishing that shit. I think that Beverly Hills, also LA, much larger area on the map than Salt Lake. Also, it's been around longer, so it's built more of a following. It's one of like it's not an OG, I guess, but it's like kind of close. I don't know. I feel like it just has a little bit of seniority on Salt Lake and it's reaping the benefits in this rigged election. I'll accept it. I just really wanted to see Salt Lake win something tonight. And I knew Vanderpump was going to beat it out of best show.
Well,
but Monica won, so I'm good.
Yeah. Well, going back to the Electoral College thing, I mean, California is the reason why the Electoral College was invented, because you're right. There's more people in LA, so there's more people to vote. So, wow, the way that this analogy really came full circle. Wow. Yeah. What a great analogy, Annie. Okay.
Shout out to OC in Miami, too.
Yes. Okay. So the next presenter could not be more qualified to give this award. Oh my gosh, you guys. It's the worst partner award. Come on, Zach.
Everybody.
I'm going to be in New York next week and I'm going to get her. I'm going to get her good.
Get your lips up.
But I actually did want to present this award. So the nominees for the worst partner award are as follows. John Jansen from The Real Housewives of Orange County.
This is my life. I have normal fights with my boyfriend that paralyze me, and I have talked about that on camera.
Silas Cooper from Summer House, Martha's Vineyard.
And we've made an exception already because we love Milo.
I can't my dog to get off. No disrespect. Jeez. We hear you having sex every other day. You can get off and you're fine. I got what I got.
Jasmine.
Ralph Pittman from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
You think I'm supposed to be okay with that?
Drew, you're acting right
you
now.
You think I'm going to be...
Ryan Boyan from The Real Housewives. Ryan Boyan from this Real Housewives of Orange County.
Babe, if there's anything I need to know, it better come from your mouth, because if I sit across from her and she tells me something, I am literally going to come undone.
You already know that answer. You know there's nothing. You know.
And the winner of worst partner goes to Ralph Pittman from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
You suck.
Well deserved. Yes. Well deserved.
I had to plug my nose that entire read. It was so gross. All of those men.
Yes. Zach, I really thought at the end you're going to be like, and fifth, my ex-boyfriend.
No.
No, it's basically John Jansen. That's like the same. It's like the same archetype.
Same guy. Okay, got you. So he was represented.
Not you. You really are in your Shannon era, Zach.
I have arguments with my boyfriend that paralyze me.
You literally are. We have to talk though about Silas Cooper, this motherfucker.
I had to add him in, and I'm like, he was so awful, but barely anybody watched Summer's House Martha's Vineyard, so I knew he wasn't going to get the win. But if you guys did watch, he was the most misogynistic, alpha male, nasty attitude man, and the girl is having his baby. So,
literally, so Silas, with Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Summer House Martha's, and I just. Him and then Ryan Boyajian, however you say it.
I googled that last name.
I googled Ryan Padronti. I thought that's what his name was. That is not his name. Jennifer Padronti's man, her boyfriend on OC. He was just a slime ball, wanted to fuck Tamara's friend.
Yeah.
That's a ticking time bomb, which means that she needs to get signed. I know she did get signed, but she needs to be on like two more seasons just to like.
Maddie, though, I will say, your pick was not very far behind Ryan at all. So I guess people know him.
Oh, yeah. Because
Ryan was horrible. And it was like three votes.
No, Silas was awful. Like when I say he was awful, he was like an ex or no, he was still in the military, but he believed like the wife should do everything for him. So like when they were living in the summer house, he was like, "What? Where's my breakfast? You burnt the bacon this morning. You burnt the pancakes this morning.
She burnt the food. I wanted to smack him.
I'm like, she made you breakfast. You haven't got out of bed.
Ugly as fuck. Let's talk about that. So
how are you going to be ugly and a bad husband?
And she kind of looks like Ralph's hot from Abbott Elementary. And it kind of like makes me like have a soft spot for her. So I just can't.
You got to pick a struggle. Maddie and I talked about this on the Married to Medicine Patreon. You got to pick a struggle. You can't be ugly and be an asshole. You got to like pick one or the other. Like Ryan at least is hot and is going to is going to be good. Yeah. But like
John Jansen, probably not. But I know Zach, for you, you take a dip.
Yeah. I would climb him like a tree actually.
Now let's see. We got a lot of comments on Instagram being like, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? Yes, I'm aware. We're aware. There are a lot of shitty fucking men.
There's a lot of trash bags.
And not, I said partner because it's not even just men. Like Martina from Julia Martina should have been on this.
This category could be like literally
Sandoval. Schwartz.
Everything, you know? And pretty it's bad. Just like.
There's a lot, yeah.
And also, there was a lot of comments about these nominees and everything. And listen, a lot of opinions. These are just representing the most. We have a lot of representation here. And to be clear, when it comes to flop franchise and best franchise, we're not talking about all time. Okay.
We're talking about.
We had some comments where they're like, how are you guys nominating Orange County as best franchise and Potomac?
Talking
as
to you. Or whatever the fuck your name is.
Like, it's literally about the fucking year.
Maybe it's about the year. And if you think
you should believe that.
we will believe that. But like, if you think that Potomac this season is better than Orange County's this season, then you're like Wendy Osefa would say, smoking crack. Like, you're literally
unhinged.
Like,
crack.
I don't do crack. Crack is whack.
Also, if you think about it, do the math. Like, there aren't, I don't think, I mean, I might be drawing a blank, but I can only think right off the top of my head of like seven Real Housewives franchises. So like.
There's nine.
Oh, is there?
Oh. Zag. That came out like automatically.
Oops. But either way, there's nine. So we had four flop seasons, four best housewives. So there's not a lot to choose from anyway. So I'm just saying like, if Potomac isn't in the bottom, it's definitely in the middle too. Like, get over yourself. Like, think about
it. It's not the best right now. Yeah. And that's okay, baby. That's okay. It's had its rain, and I'm sure it'll have its rain again. Like, it's peaks and valleys with these shows. Okay. It's ebbs and flows. They're going to be up. They're going to be down. And that's just the way it goes.
And we're going to be sitting here on the microphone talking about them.
Talking about it regardless. If it's really good or if it's fucking bad, we are going to be talking about it.
So. Chops, giving out bops.
That. Anyways, our next presenter is, you know, Chops giving out bops. Give it up for Reed Chandler.
Okay. So this next category is best crossover. Now, I think we all love a good crossover. Think about some of the most iconic ones, especially on Bravo. And you think of things like Vanderpump Rules when Sheena and Brandy met for lunch. maybe you think of Summer House. For this category this year, four shows stood out as the best crossover shows of the past year. The nominees are Southern Hospitality.
Are you coming out tonight?
Winter House.
This is so nice. I smell you.
Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip 3, Thailand. Peacock's The Traitors.
Let the games begin.
And the winner is Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip 3.
See ya, bye.
Portia, bye.
Right?
This is another stop the count.
This is like I feel like talking like that one TikTok, like that old lady where she's like, have you ever had a Krispy Kreme?
Yeah.
Was it crispy? I'm like, right.
Okay.
Okay. You really watched Ultimate Girls Trip season 3 and you thought that was the best out of the nominees. That means that you didn't watch the Traitors. That means you didn't watch the Traitors. That means you did not watch Southern Hospitality, which is arguably one of the better ones out of this.
I mean, Winter House had a lot of votes and Winter House isn't that good this season. Like, I just don't think people branched out. I think people are cheap. They're afraid to pay Peacock and watch the Peacock exclusives.
I know people are cheap and afraid to pay Peacock, Maddie, because I got 12 people on my goddamn Peacock, starting with Maddie.
Shut up.
My brother, my Nana, my mom and my dad, my friend Mikey, Elvis and Mike, if you could believe it.
I'm so glad I evicted them and now you are their resident.
Oh, you kicked them out of your Peacock house? I am about to reset. On Sunday, I went to watch Southern Hospitality and I couldn't because there was too many devices and I almost hit the nuclear button and unlinked everybody.
I was at work, so don't blame me.
It's Christmas time and I'm not Scrooge.
Some of us don't have jobs. Maybe kick off the people that have jobs.
That's true, actually.
Let's think about that.
Imagine if Maddie was unemployed and didn't have access to Peacock. That would be actual 9/11
on earth for her.
You might have to also kick her off of this non-paying job, which is this podcast, because she won't be able to do it.
I completely hit the nuclear button. I had been meaning to do it for a while because I would literally text the About Bravo, like, it would be getting ready to record and, like, you know, I'm very last minute, so like I would have to watch an episode like right before we're getting ready to record, and I'd go to watch it and that little like graphic of Puss in Boots comes up.
Too many people
are using your goddamn account, and I was like what the fuck, whatever. And for the longest time I kept it on, and then this was the kicker. After I got dumped over the summer, okay, I go on my Peacock and I see that someone is watching stuff on under my name. So it's like my profile and it was under my name and there was two. I got dumped and this man was watching on my Peacock. So that's when I hit the nuke. That's when I was like, everyone's off. That's it.
That's definitely nuke worthy. I think.
And it was Roseanne.
I will say,
Roseanne. Oh, my God. My God, you could not have gotten out of... You really dodged a bullet, bitch.
That is an abusive fucking relationship.
Talk about dodging. You dodged the nuke. What the fuck? Oh, my God.
Honestly,
I was with my roommate. I was like, who's watching Roseanne? She was like, what the fuck?
Zach, that was a preemptive strike. You had to do what you had to do. And What I think's funny is we're all forgetting Ultimate Girls Trip was also a Peacock exclusive. So even though I introduced the Traitors.
A Peacock exclusive that airs on Bravo once the poor people are allowed to watch it.
Yeah, Traitors didn't do that. That's true.
There wasn't plenty of time for the poor people to get it.
I think also people just have, like, back to the Beverly Hills excuse that I have. People love Housewives more than any of these other shows. And so I think that you're just going to get more votes on a Housewives show.
And I fault them. I can't fault them.
I don't think Ultimate Girls Trip 3 was a good season, but I can understand why you might be living for the crossover that it was.
Yeah.
That it promised.
Well, yes. It's
definitely a good cast, a good mix. But yeah, shout out to the Traitors coming back soon. Southern Hospitality on the air now. I'm ready to do a Patreon on that after a few episodes. Never gotten into Winter House, but I know Maddie loves it. And Schwartz is on this season.
And there's a reunion this season, so.
Oh, okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, without reunions are full of hilarious, funny moments. And that brings us to this next category and our presenter, Maddie.
Yes, okay, guys. Our next award is the funniest moment on Bravo. And let me tell you, this was hard to narrow it down to four funny moments because you could have four funny moments in a single episode. This was hard for us, guys. But the nominees for funniest moment on Bravo, we have the whitewater rafting scene in Real Housewives of Orange County.
So, sandwiches for lunch? I wish they would give us something like spaghetti and meatballs or something like that, you know, something hot.
Then we have the Dairy Queen parking lot scene from Crappy Lake with Luann and Sonia.
It's amazing how fast the gas comes. Gosh.
Next, we have the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with Denise Richards and her upside down jacket. It's
upside down. Yours upside down?
Mine?
You're the only one. Don't do this. Don't do this. I know what you're doing. Stop it. Don't do this.
I swear I think hold your top jacket is upside down.
Stop it.
And last, we have the sound bath fight on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
I said, based on my assessment, you don't treat your mother nicely. You do not,
well,
Monica.
You don't know about that situation, Lisa.
And for the winner of the funniest moment on Bravo by a landslide is Denise Richards and her upside down jacket.
Is this on backwards?
No.
You sure?
Backwards?
Upside down?
No.
Woo!
Coming in at the final. Coming in at the final hour.
The final hour.
Literally like a last minute sweep. Now, Denise, what did she say to Dorit?
She goes, Is your jacket upside down? She goes, I don't give a flying ass fuck about a fucking
jacket.
I know what you're doing. This. I know what you're doing. Don't stop. Don't do this.
It
was so good.
Stop.
I have the whole monologue memorized. I did nominate it. And you know what? I was trying really hard to like not think of the most recent stuff when I was doing these like nominees because it's like really easy to get caught up in the most recent stuff. But in this case, I was like, thank God this fucking episode blessed us right before we were nominating because this episode was truly a gift.
And the dinner party from Hell Part 3 has given us truly so much already. Okay. And I honestly, like, even though I had doubts going into the season of Beverly Hills, it's not a bad season at all. And it has been really entertaining, especially the dinner party from Hell. They've really fucking delivered. And even though I'm mad about the rigged election earlier, I kind of get it too. Like, they're giving us a lot. And Denise Richards, even though I think people were voting on these specific moments, I also think they were voting for like Denise has done other funny things too. Like, thank you. You're welcome. Like, I think that there's enough here that people are like, let's vote for Denise. The sound bath fight was my nominee and my vote. And I just have to say it really did deserve.
That one was so good. I also, nominated the Dairy Queen parking lot scene with Luann and Sonia because I cracked up laughing during that scene, so I had to nominate it because I still think about them like literally talking about like taking gas X after eating all the food that they were eating and Sonia eating all the food.
And I'm sorry, The Real Housewives of Orange County, that whitewater rafting scene is
that was hilarious
it's
too.
Top tier.
The testicles.
It's so funny.
Oh my god.
Well, yeah. I have to think about like the Denise thing is like my husband does not watch these shows. And I showed him this clip and he was like losing his mind. And I also did a reenactment because I have a fur coat that is the same shape as that coat. And I had to show him. I was like, I'm just going to show you. I got And I was like, this is what happened. This is how she came in. And then this is how it was later. And then it flashed back to, you know, an hour earlier. And he honestly lost his shit. That's a really good sign. He doesn't even know anything that's going on. And he thought it was so fucking funny. And he like even quoted it later today. And I was so horny.
You really trained him well. He said,
is your coat on back? Backwards. Like he just says it now randomly and then he said thank you, you're welcome.
This unlocked actually a core traumatic memory of mine. In the eighth grade, I was the lead in my middle school play, The Nifty 50s, and I played a jock named George who wore a Letterman jacket, and I was so nervous going out on the stage. I'm in a diner, I take it off, put it on a chair, this girl hits on me, and then I have to casually pick it up, I have to throw it over my shoulder, and then I have to put it on and walk out and look really smooth, and I fucking put it on upside down, and the whole fucking crowd was laughing, and I thought they were laughing because the scene was funny. And like there was like this good, I thought I was fucking slaying it on the and then like we got like a DVD, like they burned DVDs, and like I were watching it at my home. My parents like told me later what happened. I was so ashamed, but then seeing it myself, like fucking traumatizing, it literally looked like the Denise Richards upside down coat. So I've been feeling your pain. You deserve this award.
Yes. It, like we said, all moments were so funny. This category was hard to choose a top winner. All right, guys, we are running it over to the only one who's actually in a couple for the Favorite Couple Award, allegedly, is Annie.
Yes. Okay, so the first nominee for Favorite Couple is Jessel and Pavitt from the current Roni season.
Oh, my God, they're asking for boards and organizations. Are you part of anything? Except for like the fried chicken committee that you like eat.
It's a street food association of New York City.
Then we have Paige and Craig from various Bravo shows, I'll just say.
I do think about though, like, oh my God, what if I was like with child right now? I'm not, but I like got like nervous for a second. And my first thought was, I have to move to Charleston.
Look.
Kyle and Morgan really heating it up over there in Beverly Hills.
People are really confused by our friendship.
How did you guys meet?
She stalked me.
And then Joe Bradley and Danielle Olivera. I don't know.
Olivera.
It was kind of a little bit premature, I think, but I visited Danielle in New York, and I think she's going to come visit me in Charleston.
Danielle Olive Oil.
From a show that I'm not familiar with.
I don't know.
Okay. And the winner is Jesselyn Pavitt.
So I'm going to Vietnam.
Why?
Why not?
From Roni.
Fuck yeah.
That's great, honestly. The way that everyone, I feel like people went in when the trailer came out, like thinking that they were going to be like a really bad couple, and like and that Jessel only came on to get divorced. Like she was going to be like that housewife. And then it was like the complete opposite.
We all kind of thought that. Like the first few seasons, the first few episodes, they were almost like she felt like a naggy bitch wife.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is not going to be this. And then we got Pavitt's real personality in it.
It all changed. The bellwether moment it all changed was when they had the scene of going over the schools.
Yep.
And seeing
the fried chicken committee.
The fried chicken committee. And be like, they get an iPad. She goes, they get an iPad and a field trip. for like $60 million. He humanized her, I think. And they are so funny together. And it's just, it's great to see. So congrats.
I do want to mention my favorite couple only was off by like 50 points. My favorite couple was only down by 50 points, Paige and Craig, and they're not even married. So that's all I have to say. I just love them so much. I can't wait till they get married. I hope I'm invited to the
wedding.
Don't
act shocked.
So Maddie did the opposite of me. She was very biased in her nominees. That was very clear.
I was so biased.
Who also Kyle and Morgan?
That was me. You know what? I had to add some satire. I wanted to be messy.
No, it was good.
And Kyle and Morgan, you know what? Was not the last choice, I just have to say.
Joe Bradley and Danielle.
They were not the last choice.
Now, I'll confess, this was in a category that only had
three.
I think we had to add a fourth. And
yeah, you should have texted me.
Well, Joe Bradley and Danielle, it was recent, and just like I figured it would be.
Now, who is that?
He's from
Joe Bradley. Joe Bradley is from Southern Hospitality. Danielle is from Summer House.
We met him at RoboCon. He's really sweet, and he's also very hot, which we've been known.
But like that relationship is just so new. That's the one you picked.
I know.
I was just throwing somebody in there to spice things up.
If you would have texted me, I would have said Amanda and Kyle.
Kyle and Morgan.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Amanda and Kyle from Summer House because they're actually they got married last year, and
you think that they're one of the best couples?
Yeah, listen, there's not a lot to choose from on the Bravo Network. I'll be honest, I was really combing.
You know who I should have picked? Well, I would have never nominated someone that's not Paige and Craig. But if I would have got two nominations, I would have done Marge and Joe Beningo.
They are a great couple. That's
I know. I know.
That would have been a good one.
I would have done Lisa Barlow and John Barlow.
Good one too.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to choose from. We didn't really dive in. I think we're all very jaded that shows. But yeah.
I think Meredith Marks and her bottle of pills would have been a good one as well.
You said it.
I thought Meredith and her bathtub.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also would have been good.
Okay. All right. The next category is something that me and the next presenter are, if you haven't caught up on, we are currently in. It's Best Feud. And the presenter is Zach.
News to me. Actually, no. She drags me every fucking day. So I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked.
Get her again.
She just likes to whack me. The nominees for Best Feud are Monica Garcia and Lisa Barlow from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Lisa, listen, I want to enjoy the sound bowl. Excuse me.
Yes, go ahead. Old people need it.
Okay, Monica, that's low because I'm older than Lisa.
Monica, she's older than me. So is Meredith. So is Heather.
Yeah, but you wear it.
Okay.
I'd like to be natural.
Okay.
I don't look like the Pillsbury Dough girl. Sorry.
Okay. Are you telling her she does? Are you?
Lindsay versus all the Summer House girls. Summer House.
Girl, I don't even speak to you, so I
don't. No, you just speak about me. You fight behind my back, and it's the most pathetic fighting I've ever seen.
You're literally nuts.
That's really nice to you.
Yeah, you're nuts.
You know what? I'd rather be nuts than boring.
Teresa Giudice versus Melissa Gorga, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Jacqueline told me so much that you and my brother were doing.
Who?
Florida? Yes.
You suddenly standing for Jacqueline is like the joke of the century.
I don't care, Andy.
You think Melissa put you in jail?
Oh my God.
Kyle Richards versus Sutton Strack, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I'm sick of fighting with you. I really am. I really am. Okay, you've already lost two sisters. Do you want to lose a third?
Oh, wow, really? Don't do that.
Go yourself.
Wow, don't do that.
Go yourself.
You're being really mean.
And the winner of the Best Feud on Bravo, and I'm very happy to announce this, is Monica Garcia versus Lisa Barlow.
Interesting. Please stop talking to me.
Ooh, honestly, this is so deserved. I mean, this is like the... Have you guys seen that movie Godzilla versus King Kong?
It's going to sound shocking. No.
Well, this is pretty much the Bravo version of that. It's two titans who are facing off against each other. It's just truly awe-inspiring to watch. I have always loved Lisa Barlow. I'm absolutely in love with Monica Garcia. I know they hate each other's guts, and I fucking love it. And I love watching them fight.
And they won this category by landslide because it's one of the best feuds to watch. I'm loving the season because of those two. And they're both so, I don't know how to put this nicely. They're kind of both so confident in themselves that they don't even care what the other person has to say ever. And so it makes the feud that much better.
Yeah.
The feud is, it's one of those great Housewives feuds. And what we need really bad that will just put the cherry on top of this feud is a one-on-one sit-down between Lisa Barlow and Monica Garcia, which I don't think we've gotten yet. We've gotten like group scenes, but they haven't gone to a restaurant by themselves, sat down one-on-one. Like, those are the best. Those solidify.
Angie K is always there, or it's at the jewelry party that Meredith had where they
Sound bath. But like, but we need like a sit down. Like, I just think that would be one of the best sit downs.
We need a Sutton and Diana. So you say that I know, but we need, but we need like, Monica and Lisa to put their spin on it.
Like, those are legendary, you know, like Sutton and Diana, that's legendary. Like, the Portia Cynthia sit down, that's legendary.
You just made that up.
The Candy Portia sit down, that's legendary. Speaking of legendary, the Sidekick Award is going to be presented by our legendary sidekick, Reed Chandler.
God damn it. Oh my God. We listeners, we are almost done with these awards, and he had to get one more lick in on me. That was good.
Whack.
Whack him again for me.
Yes. Good sidekicks know their place, but play their role so well. Right, Zach? Award nominees for best sidekick go to Kiki Barth, Real Housewives of Miami.
If I'm going somewhere, if it's more than 6 hours, I'm packing my dildo with me, because you never know what mood I'm going to be in.
Jen Fessler, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
You had sex with James Gandolfini? Where have you been?
Jennifer Aiden, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I have a family, which is something you'd never know what it's like.
Yeah, I'll tell you what you...
Adriana DeMora, Real Housewives of Miami.
I'm no longer afraid of your poison. Are you
winning? And the winner goes to... Miss Kiki.
Lisa always have to find a way to bring up Lenny. I can say right now I have a yeast infection. She'll be like, oh my God, Lenny have a yeast infection too.
Yes.
I'm proud of her for snagging that win.
Okay, but I actually have like a question or an issue perhaps to bring up though. Who is she the sidekick of?
She's a friend
of the sidekick of the show.
So we don't have a best friend of award, which in hindsight maybe was an oversight, but this comes close because you can say
I think sidekick works though for like Jennifer Aiden's nominated because she was Teresa's sidekick, but she was a full-time
Robin
person.
Dixon is Giselle's sidekick.
That's what I'm saying. So when I think of sidekick, I think of like a Robin, a Batman and Robin. Okay,
but I think Teresa's, a friend of is inherently often a sidekick.
The whole show sidekick.
Yeah,
I don't agree.
So I think Kiki, you know, she's always kind of taking pot shots from the corner. Last season she came over to Larsa's and immediately ratted on Lisa, saying that she lived like where prostitutes and hookers like did lived. She knows how to get into the mess, but she kind of does it on behalf of others, I feel. And then Adriana was my nominee, also from Miami. I think Adriana, and I definitely think Adriana can like take center stage, but I think her and Julia play sidekicks to each other, really. Like, they both kind of toggle, I think, being the dom and the sub, you know? So I think that like that's why I felt Adriana fit that really well.
So I mean, yeah, obviously, and people voted, I just think that me personally, I would have rather seen like Kiki and Jen Fessler, and like the best friend of, in my mind, like sidekick is like Batman and Robin. So I'm like I said, I think it's like
the Adriana and the Jennifer
Adriana
Aiden
is Julia's Robin, Jen Aiden is Teresa's Robin. You know, I think, you know, whatever, but you get what I'm saying. So I didn't really even understand the I don't agree with
well that. To quote Jerry Seinfeld again, comedy is more personal than food. Categories are more personal than comedy. So
yeah, I was,
you can't use that for everything.
That was kind of deep. When you think about it.
I was gonna quote Miss Candy Burris and say, well, good thing she don't get paid for thinking.
That was a good one.
She doesn't get paid at all.
A little what?
I would quote, I don't know what quote it would be, but I feel like at this moment right now, I want to quote something that like Crystal from BH would say, because I feel like I'm getting into like just language and definitions, but like that's where I'm at.
You're so like anything Marian Webster.
Crystal might have said one time, like, you know, look it up in the Webster's dictionary, but that's where I'm at. Whatever, it's fine.
Okay, Miss Merriam Webster.
Yes.
Well, for our next category, much like heroes need sidekicks, heroes need villains. We have Maddie coming up here to present best villain.
Our nominees are Tamra Judge.
You're a piece of shit of a friend. There.
Fuck off. You're the piece of shit.
Tom Sandoval.
Yeah, she kept her t-shirt on. It was really hot.
Monica Garcia.
The real nasty bitch here is you.
And James Kennedy.
You're a worm with a mustache.
And the winner is Tom Sandoval. Now, if we get into semantics about best villain, you know, you could,
no, I'm going to.
You could,
you know,
differ.
I'm going.
You could say that best villain is somebody that plays the villain well, and Tom Sandoval may not be the best villain. He's just the biggest villain. But yes, I just needed him in this category because he's just an awful person. So he was my pick for this.
So, yeah. I understand why you felt the need to choose Tom Sandoval. I understand why the viewers felt the need to vote for him. I think that if you have him up against these other people and you're thinking of villain, it feels like crazy to not vote for him. I would have left him out personally. Again, I'm getting into semantics, like you said, or like, you know, vocabulary, I guess. Like in my mind, when I was nominating my person, I nominated Monica Garcia. And I'm thinking of best villain as someone who's like good at shaking the tables, not scared to be hated by the other women. Like will say what's on her mind, what everyone's thinking without worrying about what's going to piss anyone off. Like I'm thinking of someone like the other nominees, like Tamra Judge, even James Kennedy is like someone that we love, but like he says the wrong thing a lot, you know? Like, So I was thinking of best villain as a almost like a compliment, actually, you know, but I understand. I think that if I was a voter too, if I'm seeing all these people and I see the word villain, I mean, yeah. I
you
feel
have to choose.
Like,
Tom.
You have, yeah. I get it. No, I totally
like,
understand.
He's like Thanos, you know, he's
I just
like
think
Thanos
it was like
of Brava.
But the thing is that Tom isn't like playing the villain. He,
right.
Like,
he doesn't
is
want to be
the
villain.
Villain. Like, it's like, yes. And he doesn't, and also he doesn't think that he's
the villain.
Exactly. Like, we're like Tamra. Like is like I'm the villain.
Yes,
she's like, I'm the villain this season. Guess I'm the villain.
I would call Monica an underdog more than I would call her a villain. But Annie,
because that's because you're a Monica Garcia-nator.
To your point, though, Annie, I think it's semantics because I don't fully agree with your interpretation of Monica being a villain. But I understand.
Hey, well, who did you nominate?
Who did I nominate? I think
James
I nominated
Kennedy.
I nominated
Tom.
Oh, who did you nominate, Zach?
I nominated Tamra.
I must have nominated James Kennedy. Yeah.
Okay, so you did have the same idea as me then. So what are you talking about?
No, James is a little bit more evil. Like, James is actually kind of a bad person. Sometimes.
No, James. James. Insane. James plays the villain. Like, he's like, I'm gonna call you a poo-poo head, I'm gonna like do this, I'm gonna do that.
He's abusive.
Tamra does that too.
Yeah.
And then Monica, I think, has like no fear of being like, she's like, Monica, this is how I'd view it. Monica, since we're giving all of our interpretations or whatever, Monica does not have a problem being the villain. She's like, right. If I'm the villain in your story, that's on you, motherfucker. Like, that's her, like, you know, like her MO. Like, I don't think she like views herself as an evil, villainous person, but I think that she's like, all right, if I'm shaking the table, mom, if you hate me, that's on you. If I'm the villain in your story, because you're the villain in mine. So, like, you know, talk about that guacamole dessert. I don't care. I guess I'm the villain. Where Tom Sandoval, like, I think thinks he's like the underdog, like hero, but he is villainous because
he's
awful.
I would say the word evil is better, actually. Like, he's like, she was just being evil. Like, he was like, he doesn't, like you said, he doesn't think he's the villain. He doesn't want to own it. He actually plays the victim way more than he plays the villain.
It's
Monica does not play
psycho.
The victim. What?
It's giving American Psycho, actually. Sure. This movie?
Okay. So anyway, so
no one here has seen American Psycho.
Yes, I think we all have.
I've seen it. I'm just gonna keep on going with my thing. I think that Tom Hoffman plays the victim. Monica doesn't play the victim. She's like, I'm here. I'm gonna say what I want to fucking say. Like, if you have a problem with it, deal with it. Like. And I think that Tom is more like, I'm so sad because everyone hates me for being so mean and evil and disgusting.
He should have gotten a tomato award.
And also, can I bring something up really quick that we were just talking about? Annie, I'm going to smack you. What's that? I always quote, this is like a Bravo line, an underrated Bravo line that I quote with my sister like all the time. And it's Mama Joyce when she's like, I could choke you right now. When she's looking at Phaedra.
You're the best villain.
Because Phaedra introduced her and Todd. And she's I could choke you right now. But what I was going to say is in one of the previous episodes that we recorded that's out, go listen, we talk about housewife tropes and like things that we are just like sick of seeing, like pickleball and podcasts and et cetera. And based on the Vanderpump Rules season 11 trailer, which we will cover in the recap before this episode comes out, but it's you'll hear it. There's a scene in the trailer where it looks like the producers are doing their thing and Tom Sandoval is doing the ketamine treatment that Adriana did where she's crying.
I am so
and he's got like the headphones on. He's like,
yeah,
he's like crying.
Oh my God. Not that. So I just want to have a lens in a K-hole.
I just want to know,
start recruiting these people to tell their stories.
Do they like, all right, we're going to run this ketamine thing for like 5 seasons for different franchises. Ooh. And then we're going to do pickleball for 5 seasons for different franchises. Like, why do they
big dark money, like Farva. big pickleball paying Bravo, big ketamine treatment paying Bravo. Hey, you're going to put
big 1920s. Party. Hey, big, Bravo.
Great Gatsby film had a big budget and they were paying all those ladies to do those parties. Oh my God.
Big Roy. But
hey, say less.
Anyway,
wow. We could talk about best villain for the entire podcast, I think. But we would not get to hit the very last award. The very last award, the person who's presenting this may not have the best one-liner, instead has the best paragraphs, because she talks in paragraphs, is Annie. Okay. I had to get one read in there.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No.
The best thesis, Annie, go ahead.
me and Annie are neck and neck in this category.
Yeah, no, they truly are. They battle it out. The best dissertation.
We're writing. Okay.
That's fair, but I also have had I've had a one-liner or two, and actually it's normally towards Reed, so that's weird, but yeah, it all ends up, okay? Okay. All right, the best one-liner nominees are, I'm gonna do the Reed. Okay, cool. All right, the best one-liners, the first nominee is Meredith Marks. The rumors and the nastiness.
If I wanna go for the jugular and talk about this the rumors and nastiness about her, well, we can do that. You know what? You want me to go there with her husband? I can go there.
James Kennedy, you're a worm with a mustache.
Yes, you're a worm with a mustache.
Okay. Denise Richards, thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You know, you're welcome.
Okay. Sutton Strack,
Honestly, Annie, before you announce the winner, I just have to say you're the winner, because those were all super fucking good impersonations.
Those were all really good. I will say you need to work on your southern
and I can
a little bit
and I can teach you, because you gotta name them.
Wait, it really? I thought that was good. You didn't like.
You did.
It needs
good.
To be. It needs
good.
To be more exaggerated. Like you need to take. Yeah, do a one-on-one class with Reed. He speaks it fluently.
Because I was gonna say, I feel like it was perfect. Because I'm sick right now, and I have this raspiness going on. And I was like, ooh, yay.
You did the Denise really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also did not realize that I was going to have to be doing impressions until I was looking at this category right now on my phone. Call me Zach. I was not prepared. Okay. Anyway.
One more whack.
Yes, I'm going to keep getting them in. All right. Without further ado, the winner of Best One-Liner Award is Sutton Strack. Name them.
Name them.
And I think that is so deserving.
Another late hour when.
What?
Oh, you mean like it's like reset? Yeah. Someone throw crickets in there really quick after.
Yeah, wow. Like, I'm gonna have to really.
Reed's gonna have to chop this podcast up, but no. Name on my feet like is so deserving. Like the minute there's certain things when you're watching these shows that you know instantly are magic, and it's just like so euphoric when it happens. It's like one of the best things, and we've had actually like a lot this year, like the sound bath scene when like Lisa and Monica were going at it. That was iconic. Like, and this name them, the minute that Sutton pivoted her head down, looked up at Kyle and went, name them, name them, name them. Like numerous. It was like watching magic. I was like, this is perfect Housewives.
I would also say there was a lot on that VPR reunion that also felt the same way of like instantly you're like, ooh, this is TV gold. We obviously couldn't put all of them in there. And I'm glad that we didn't, because I think that it's best to kind of keep a few from each franchise. But like, oh, my cards. Like that was really great.
I forgot about Poo Poo Head until somebody just said it.
Like, yeah, it was me.
No.
I totally forgot about it.
Good ones. I think that Lala being like, I didn't even listen. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, it was just, there was so many on VPR that were so great. I will say one more thing just for the listeners right now that you guys have to know is that because we were all like voting on a little survey thing and we couldn't see anyone else's answers, we were purposely trying to like not vote for someone that we knew that someone else was going to nominate. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that no one put name them. Like we all put something different because we were like, well, you know, Reed's going to say name them or whatever, whatever. So we originally had the list of nominees and it was not included, because then we were like, okay, well, let's rework, because obviously that was a mistake. Like, but we were so sure that someone else was going to say it that we didn't say it. And yeah, that was a moment where we had to, you know, revisit.
Yeah, we did not name them.
Yes,
we did not name them.
I felt like this is another one that people might have voted not only just for the specific line that we nominated, but for the person in general for having good one-liners, because Meredith Marks obviously had more. I wanted to nominate "You Can Leave," but I felt like "Name 'Em" was more important, and she already had the rumors in the nest. And so
I feel like everyone, when they saw like the trailer and everything, everyone thought that "You Can Leave" was going to be like the most iconic thing that Meredith Marks said this season. And then she went in with the rumors and the nastiness. And if she just said the rumors and the nastiness, that would have been one thing. But it's because she said the rumors and the nastiness. It's the way she said it's just flawless. That's another Housewives magic thing. When we were watching Lisa Barlow with her eyes open like a wide-eyed deer, watching Meredith like it looked like Lisa was fearing for her life. Like it's perfect. It's what that is the shit that
Julia
I love
from Miami. You're terrified. I am.
I feel like if it was last year, and we're gonna hopefully do these every year now, so I'm so excited. But I feel like if it was last year, I would have nominated like Lisa Barlow being like, I am richer than all of you. I am way too rich to be here.
That would have been a good
2 years
one.
Ago, Sutton being like, jealous of what? Your ugly leather pants.
The homeless, not toothless. Homeless, not toothless. Of Kathy Hilton.
I've worked with the homeless. I've worked with the toothless.
That's so
I mean,
chic.
Also, so chic. Play. I was just going to say, so chic. Oh, so chic.
Oh, good. Such a good category, Reed. Such a good category.
Guys, this whole thing was so great. Thank you so much for participating and voting and to the judges. And It's About Bravo fam here. Like, thank you for nominating and partaking in our first annual It's About Bravo award show. so much fun, and it really it really just highlights how fucking great of a year it's been for Bravo and for Bravo fans. Thanks so much for supporting our show, guys. We have just been super thankful for this year and all the great episodes and all the great stuff on Bravo. Zach, Maddie, Annie, thank you. We'll be back on the mic very soon to talk about all your favorite Bravo shows. In the meantime, follow us on About_Bravo, Instagram, Twitter, what else? TikTok. And Patreon, new episodes every other week. Thanks, guys. See ya.
Bye.